Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Yes, I'm recording too. Oh, where... oh God. Excuse me.
Please, back in your throat.
I thought the frogs were in the pond. They seem to be in my throat today. I've got a pond, by the way. Did I ever tell you?
You've got a new car, haven't you?
I did, you know. I didn't. I think I mentioned it to you. Right, shut up. Get on with it. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and greetings to the Whatever Works podcast once again. We are at the beginning of September, and it's show 231. I'm recording from an unusual location, so hopefully Aidan will be able to fix my audio if it's crap on this ancient microphone. He's a wizard like that, you know. Oh, hang on, the door's bell's gone. Someone's knocked on the door. Stand by.
And he's gone. But I am an audio wizard. With the click of my fingers, Ted's back.
Yes, I'm also waiting for the postman to deliver something. So it's all stations go today. But through it all, we bring you a podcast. It is the lovely Whatever Works podcast. Whateverworks.works is our website where you'll find links to all this stuff we're going to talk about today, and it will also be on your podcatcher. Hopefully. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan, and TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find all the links to our MeWe groups and also all of our other audio podcasts. I would like to just start off by saying that the climate in North Wales since the last recording, in fact since last week, has been just so radically different. It's lovely here now. It's rainy and cloudy and cooler and it's just so nice. It's incredible how it swings, isn't it? Our heat waves are really small heat waves these days. They come and go within about 3 or 4 days, and that's it, gone. None of this 1976, like, all-summer heat wave.
Exactly. We just have to time our recordings to match, for your sake, yes. If no one else's. I got to tell you something that just happened, which there's got to be something psychological going on here, because I remember saying these exact same words when we recorded the last show. The moment we started the show, I got a hot flush and had to take my sweater off. It's very bizarre. I wonder if it's something to do with having been a performer and not performing so often these days, and a sort of psychological, oh my God, the curtain's up, I've got to start. And all of a sudden, the moment you started your, you know, hello everyone, welcome to PSC, there's a Freudian slip. Hello everyone and welcome to Whatever Works. All of a sudden, the sweater comes off and Aidan's sitting here thinking, I'm hot and sweaty today. So no idea what that's all about, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure somebody can tell me. No. Chris Kelly, excuse me, I've got a cough.
Or maybe it's just senility creeping in. I've got senility creeping in, or rushing in, I should say. I was making my coffee in the week with your lovely Sage coffee machine.
Oh, yes,
you sent
yes,
over.
You're welcome.
And I put the coffee into the porter filter thingy, and I put the porter filter thingy underneath the thingy and screwed it in, ready to put the water through. A couple of minutes later, got distracted. I took the thing out again and chucked the coffee away, the fresh coffee, without the water having gone through it. And I thought to myself, why isn't that a little bit stuck in the porta filter? And the reason was because the water hadn't been through it. I guess we all have these senile moments.
Oh, Ted, it's not just you. Do you know, the other day, I opened the fridge and found my toothbrush in there. Now, don't even ask. I must confess, I do clean my teeth in the kitchen because our kitchen is bigger than the bathroom and it's just easier for my day and the way things work to keep my toothbrush in the kitchen. But, I mean, how there it was in the fridge when I went to get some milk.
That's very funny. I think I said before that one day my dad had put my mum was saying that the raisins or the sultanas were missing from the shopping, and eventually we found them. My dad had put them in the freezer. I guess we're all susceptible to this kind of little senile things, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think it's actually very possibly nothing to do with encroaching senility. I think it's just anybody can have a quick slip of mind and not quite concentrate. right yeah. in what they're doing and make a mistake. It just seems to happen more often the older you get. Talking of which, do you know what? I decided I went off and had a hearing test yesterday.
Pardon?
I realised...
What?
But, hello, I said I'm having a hearing test, Ted. Sit down now, we'll get you a nice cup of tea. I realised I'm pushing 62 and I've never had a proper, serious, in-your-face hearing test to see whether my hearing's all right. And we all go and get our eyes checked up once every sort of couple of years or so. And I thought, especially having had a career in music and listening, perhaps I should see whether I am losing some high frequencies and how it is. Well, the tall and the short of it is I'm very pleased to say my hearing is no better nor worse than should be expected for a man of 61 years old. No problems. They don't expect I'm going to need hearing aids for a number of years yet. She said, go away, and if you want to, come back in 2 years and we'll test you again, but don't worry about it. So that was all good. I was very pleased with all of that. It cost me the princely sum of £60, I have to say. I went to a place called Hartford Hearing in Hartford, believe it or not. Very nice. Wow. Private clinic, but run all ladies, like the shoes, all birds. run by a very lovely team of ladies, and they looked after me very well, and it was a very easy and enjoyable... It only took half an hour. I actually... it was a 90-minute session because that session would normally include discussing what hearing aids I wanted and how much I could afford and trying them all on. And, of course, none of that was necessary with me. But I would recommend anybody who's a little curious or a little concerned, just go and get yourself checked out. Same as the eyes. Get your hearing checked. I said get your hearing checked.
Oh, yes, yes. I've been used to hearing tests all my life because when I was a child, there was something wrong with my left ear. And so my memories of being in Southampton as a, you know, a 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old have been just always going down for hearing tests and learning very quickly how to con the bloke doing it by watching when his fingers moved.
Yeah, that's the key thing. I actually went in there. I zoned out. I went in, sat in the box and shut my eyes and zoned out and did the best I could. And of course, for me, it was as I expected. The higher frequencies are disappearing, which is normal. As you age, you can't hear high frequencies so well, which does mean that with my music mixing, although I'm not doing so much these days as I used to, if I am involved with mixing music, I have to be aware of that now and possibly even have my own private EQ where certain frequencies are boosted at the top end so I can hear them better.
Right. Well, it's a good job you know how and what to do about that, so good for you. Indeed. Right, okay, now feedback from the MeWe group. Chris Kelly is first, and I'm going to point you to his quite long summary of his Torch collection, which is in the MeWe group. I'll put a link in the show notes directly to that. Links in the show notes to MeWe group posts, incidentally, you can get to, but you've got to join if you're not a member. If you're a member, it will go straight there, but if you're not, it will go to a join link, and you have to do that, yes. So,
not a member... Why not? Join at once.
Yeah,
how
exactly.
dare you?
Yeah. Anyway, you and I can see the photograph in the recording notes here. And very quickly, I'll race through the Torch collection and leave people to read at their leisure in the group. Olight 3E, which lives on his house keys, he says. It's a twister turn-on type with a single AAA battery. A Rovivon A5X multifunction, which is a powerful UV side body thingy, jobby, glow-in-the-dark plastic. I told you I'm racing through it. What's next?
The next one is an Olight Arcfield Pro. This was a variable power main beam at 1300 lumens, a green laser pointer and a pretty powerful UV light. The worst feature, says Chris, is that it's charged via a proprietary magnetic connector that clacks into the base. What a lovely word, clacks.
Mm-hmm. All of the above, he says, go to work with me every day. The UV lights are used to check for fake driving licenses. Ah, right, cool. Then there's the Olight O-Clip Pro, a lovely little torch with a spot, flood and red beams, perfect for late night bathroom visits so that he doesn't disturb his wife, as well as the clip. It has a magnetic base and is charged by USB-C. Hurrah!
How can anyone need so many torches? Never mind, going on, he's got a stubby green one, which is a Wuben E7 1800 lumen head torch. Oh, I love a good head torch, with a battery extender. So it now accepts There's the doorbell, but I can ignore it. It's 18,650. Yes, thank you. Someone's at the door. I'll start that again. It now accepts 18,650 rechargeable batteries. What? Oh, I see. That's the number of the battery. I thought that's an awful lot of batteries for one torch. Great for camping or DIY in dark recesses.
Yeah, those 18650s are those Sony. Well, I think they used to be Sony, but they're anyone now. But they're slightly bigger than, annoyingly, slightly bigger than double A's. And talking of Wuben, he's also talking about the X4, which again has the same 18650 rechargeable battery. And he uses that as a nice little bonus to the rest of them. Anyway, as I say, I'll point to the group to have a full read of all that stuff, which is really interesting. And we're looking at this picture of, as you say, various. Neither of us ever bought that torch we put on here on the show last or the show before last. It was too. In the end, it was just a bit too expensive. But that white one there actually looks a lot like the one in question,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And Chris did say he was enthusiastic about it. I wonder if he went and bought one of those ones, or he concluded that white one was good enough for him.
Thank you, Chris Kelly, torch fetishist. Phil Wells brings us Tesco Square Silicon Air Fryer Inserts. Phil says, regarding the discussion about paper air fryer liners, yeah, those are the things what I brought to the show a while back. I find these silicon ones, he says, work well when the cooking is done, it simply goes on the top shelf of the dishwasher. £5. Uh-huh. That's a very good call, Phil. I mean, that's even better for the environment. In, you know, even the paper ones, you're still throwing away a lot of paper, even if it may be recyclable. So there we go. You can get them made of silicon and you just keep reusing it and chuck it in the dishwasher when it's done. Xerxes Hodivala says, I got some silicon ones like these, but the main thing to ensure when getting them is that they are as close as possible to the actual size of your air fryer drawers. The last set we had used to waste about 20% of the drawers. Space. Oh, you don't want to be wasting your drawers, love, do you?
No.
Don't. That is a good call as well, because, I mean, obviously, you know, the air fryer works by blowing hot air around. So if you've got a whacking great silicon thing stuck in the way, stopping the air from flowing, that's not going to help your cooking. So good call, Xerxes. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. And talking of air, which we just were, I'd like to feedback on the Levoit air purifier, which I briefly spoke about on the last show, is a cheaper and differently working version of your air purifier that you've got. We discussed it last time.
Yes.
And the feedback is, yes, it does seem to work after testing on various nights, hot nights, cold nights, with the air, the door shut, with a window open, with the air conditioner on, with the air conditioner off. And regardless of what's going on, it does seem to work. I wake up in the morning and I honestly believe, it might be psychology, I suppose, but I honestly believe that I'm breathing easier and I can, I don't have this kind of stuffy sinuses thing, which quite often happens. So even if it is psychological, I declare it a win. So I'll come back in a few months' time when we see if this 6 to 8 month filter actually lasts 6 to 8 months and whether I can get a new one by then. The only thing I would complain about it with it, however, is that the touch controls on the top are actually quite difficult to press. They're not very well designed and you have to, they're supposed to be kind of capacitive, I suppose, but it takes a really hard press to press them. And because the unit is really, really light, you just have to use two hands all the time to change anything. Anyway, that's a minor gripe because the primary thing is that it's working and working well.
I wish it was completely silent. You know me, if a pin drops two streets away, I hear it. So this would be no good for me. But you talk about the psychology. I absolutely felt the same when I got my expensive one. What was it, a couple of years ago now? I absolutely felt in the days following that it was working. But again, it may have been psychology because these days I have noticed once or twice if I leave my bedroom and come back in with a cup of tea, I think, oh, it's stuffy in here. Have I been sleeping in here? So it leads me to wonder, is it either not working as well as it did, or was it purely psychology that made me think it was working well in the first place? Which leads me to saying I'd be quite keen to give your Livoire one a try, but not if it's going to make a noise and keep me awake.
Yeah, it does make a noise.
Yeah.
Even on the number one setting, there's three settings. On the number one setting, you'd still hear that. I'm quite happy with noise in the bedroom, so it doesn't bother me. But so I've tried it on all three settings, and it's fine for noise for me. But yeah, that would annoy you.
I need to spend 6 months at sea and sleep in a cabin with an engine going in the background. That'll cure me, won't it? Atma Singh brings us the Sonoff Mini L2 Zigbee Smart Light Switch. Now, this intrigued me, Ted. Excuse me. Right. I do apologise, folks. I really have got something really not very nice going on in my throat today. Atma says, early days, but I have two of these so far without a problem. It allows you to add a smart light switch with capability to your UK home. Most UK homes do not have a neutral or earth cable in the light switch, so previously you couldn't easily do this. But this device does not require a neutral wire, and it is just about small enough to fit into your existing wall light switch. You can control it manually as before and add it as a smart switch without worrying about people manually switching it off. Now, what I believe this is, looking at the Amazon listing, is that it's a small gizmo that you actually wire. You take your light switch out, you wire this in sequence with the light, and then you put the thing back together again so you can't see it. Your light switch goes on working as a manual switch, but you then have a smart switch which you can connect to the phone and presumably other smart devices and speakers, etc., to control it, you know, at whim. So I like the look of this, and at £20... it's very much a classic example of something I really don't need, but I want anyway. And I just might get one. I don't know. Does it intrigue you?
Very good. Well, to be honest, I struggle to understand what it did and what it was and why you needed it. But it's to do with that whole neutral grounding thing, is it?
Yeah. I don't really understand the electrics of it. But it just seems that in the past you would have needed an earth cable to make it work, but now it goes directly into the mains and neutral.
Very good. So I'm very pleased for you, Atma, and I'm very pleased even more for your clear understanding. John Tanzer is next, and he's got, talking of smart things, he's got an Esviz EP3X Pro doorbell, which has been reviewed favourably at Tech Radar, which we'll put a link to. This video doorbell is easy to install, says John, works really well, and includes solar charging.
Oh.
No need to have an expensive subscription as well. He says that some of these things come with subscriptions, so you've got to pay ongoingly, but this one is not. It just works. Rings on the phone and also through any Amazon Alexa devices that you've got in the house. It costs £75, and he highly recommends it.
Wow, it's you know, right now it's $39.99. It's on a 53% off limited time deal.
Wow.
So get in quick, folks. This looks lovely. We got a Google one about 6 months ago. I think I mentioned it on the show, and which we're very happy with, and which, you know, yells through all the speakers, as you heard a few minutes ago when my doorbell rang. And this looks like something equally good for half the money. So go for it.
Yeah, definitely. And no ongoing fees. So that's great. Thank you, John.
I must add, we're not paying any ongoing fees with Google either. I mean, the ongoing fee part is if you just want to keep, you know, everyone who visited you for the last 100 years. If you're prepared to just be happy with the day-to-day use of the doorbell like anyone else, then it's fine.
Yeah.
Jingle.
Another shameless plug to my blog. While you cough your guts up, I'll carry on. And I just wanted to highlight this thing which I stumbled into, the £80 Wakeco Nano Presso portable espresso maker bundled with Nespresso capsules adapter, or you can use it with coffee beans. The interesting thing here is that anyone that's already baked into the Nespresso capsules system and has got capsules, they can use this you know, out and about, like you would at the AeroPress Go, for example, which we've covered on the show a million and one times before. But it's something that you could just make use of if you didn't want to be grinding beans on the go, and you had some coffee pods anyway from that Nespresso system. It costs £65. And you can get it in different funky colours. There's also an electric version, it's actually rechargeable. So there's a USB-C plug on it and you recharge it. That's suddenly £150, so almost three times the price. But none of this grinds beans. You still got to buy a grinder or get a grinder or use a grinder or grind your beans at home before you go. They will sell you one, Wacaco, and it'll cost you £110. It just looks really nice. And if you're baked into that system, as I say, it looks pretty decent. It's got a nice dot matrix display on the outside as well to tell you what's going on. If you don't really want an AeroPress for some reason and you're baked into the Nespresso system, it might be an option. Chris Kelly, however, jumped in when he saw this and said, no, look at this product review from YouTuber James, who's his favourite coffee guru. And he says that James apparently says it's okay, but he didn't see the point. Well, I think the point is that if you, as I've said five times now, if you've already got the capsules and you want to do quick stuff on the run, then that's the point, don't you think?
I watched the product review. Now, it was more than 5 minutes ago, so my memory of it isn't that clear anymore. It was a little while ago, but I tended to agree with you. I liked James, by the way. Kelly, Chris, you've got a good guy to follow there. I enjoyed watching the video, and I may well watch more from this chap, James. But I tend to agree with him, which the bottom line was that it's just a lot of faff. It's a great deal of faff. And he said, you know, ultimately, when you've spent an hour and a half making this thing up a mountain or down a valley or wherever you happen to be, it's lovely to be able to drink an espresso at that point. But really, it's so much kerfuffle. And I recall in the video, he seemed to talk about also you can't really get the water hot enough anyway. You've got to bring a kettle with you as well. Where are you going to get the hot water from to make this thing? Although say there's an electric version that will help with that. Yeah, I think the overall point, which I totally agree with, is it's a hell of a lot of effort. If you're camping, then just be happy with a thermos of instant coffee and have your espresso when you get home.
Yeah. But to be fair, if you've got an AeroPress Go, you'd still need to deal with the hot water issue. So, you know, you've got to get hot water from somewhere, whatever you do, haven't you?
Yes, but don't have AeroPress Go when you're out and about camping and in the wilderness. Just be happy, as I say, with a thermos of tea and have your coffee when you get home.
Yeah.
Another jingle.
I wonder who bought the magnetic pocket phone tripod, and I bet it was Chris Kelly. because I remember Chris brought to the shows yonks and yonks ago a really nifty, in fact, I've got it here somewhere. He talked me into buying one. It's a really nice little phone stand for your desk. Anyway, here's another one. It's a foldable tripod mount. It looks like it goes in every direction you could possibly put it in. It's a smartphone holder, obviously. Desk stand, handle stick with Arca Swiss thingy on the top. That's that same thing you can get for tripods, isn't it? Which is really useful, a universal kind of mount. It's got a cold shoe mount for iPhones, now with Qi 2 as well, and the Pixel 10 series. Don't forget the HMD Skyline. £23.39. It does look very sturdy and flexible, and it looks like it's a bit of an origami. It goes every direction you could possibly want it to go in. But whoever bought that, I do thank you, and it's an interesting item for sure. Mystery buyer, I applaud you. If you want to be a mystery buyer and help me with some pennies from your purchases on Amazon, you can shop as normal, but just go in via tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, and I would love you forever. Any thoughts?
I understood about a third of that description. But I've been a collector of mini tripods for many years, and I have more in the room I'm sitting in at the moment than I could ever need. So I'm certainly not going to buy any more. But yes, this looks like another one for the collection. It probably was Chris Kelly, because he's got a torch collection and probably a mini tripod collection as well. No, they're very useful, and this one does look like a lot of fun. That's all I can offer, really.
Still using and still using.
I'm still using. Actually, this is a complete con because it's a cheat, because I'm not still using. I'm. This doesn't qualify. But anyway, you're going to hear it anyway. I got about 18 months ago, I got these two beer glasses, which are absolutely lovely. Renbury Fjord Belgian stemmed beer glasses, set of two. And they're really large. I think they're a pint in each. But they're really... I like them, using them for my beer. Anyway, it's a bit of a cheat because I'm not still using them, because over the last 18 months, both of them got broken. I dropped one on the floor and I whacked the other one against something. Now, to be fair, the top edge of these is delightfully thin, which means you've got to be really, really careful with them. And that adds to the whole classy look and feel of them. I should have been more careful with them, basically. So I would be still using them if I had them. And I would buy some more if they were not unavailable now. They're really lovely. I did try and find some similar, and I did find some others, but they weren't the same make, and they weren't quite as nice as these ones. But it's a still using that I'm not still using.
Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue so well. It's a wubbasuyui hubby. I would still be using if I hadn't broken it. But
yeah. Steve sent me something the other day in one of these kind of poly waterproof and tearproof mailer bags thingies. They're a bit like those ones that if you go to the post office and say to them, can I buy a prepaid Royal Mail special delivery bag, they'll sell you a kind of grey bag, and it's got a really, really strong sticky thing on it where you fold it over, and you basically chuck your thing in it and you can send it off. So these are the same, except they're not prepaid, they're just the bags. So I said to Steve, where did you get these from? And he told me, and sure enough, it was Amazon. So I ordered some. So the 6 inches by 9 inches ones are £6.30 for 100, and the 12 inches by 9 inches ones are £8.35 for 100. So I've basically now got, for the price of £14, I've got 200 bags here with two different sizes, and I've already used. In fact, I used one to send something back to Steve the next day, and they're great. They really do feel as though they would stand the test of tearing and waterproofing and everything, and they're just like those ones you get from courier firms like FedEx or whatever. You to open them, you've got to rip them open or cut them open. And they're really, really good. And I think for that price, to get that kind of sticky seal on them to make it so is really nifty, don't you think?
You're going to be opening an Amazon store before we know it, Ted. Yes, I do know these. Quite some years ago now, I had to buy a whole load when I was sending out, a musical demo or something to a lot of people, whatever it was. And I've got a few left in a box in the utility room. And yes, indeed, I totally concur. The plastic's good and tough, and the sticky thing is absolutely stick it and you'll never get it off again. Yeah, concur. Yeah. Very good. And that's an awesome price. That really is. £6 for 100. Mm-hmm. Good call, sir.
Ted's top tips. Now, talking about sticky stuff, there was an article that came, or an item that came up from Ahmed Bibars in the top tips group, where he was putting some sticky tape over a button which was falling off, and before sending it in for repair or something, and he put a bit of tape over the thingy. But in the process, he used the term gaffer tape, and I said, I don't know the word, the term gaffer tape. I said to him, maybe it's an American term, but it is quite widely used. I do get that. But I'd never heard of it until I came to Whatever Works. So he said, right, OK, then what about duct tape? And so I said to him, well, actually, it's the same for me. Through my socialisation, my growing up, my dad was a car mechanic in his early days. You'd have thought that these kind of tapes would be commonplace unless they're American. Anyway, I asked Gemma and she told me, sorry, it told me that duct tape is certainly an American thing. Gaffer tape isn't. But the fact that I haven't heard of them just comes down to the fact that I have not stumbled into them, I suppose, and I've used other terms instead of these tape. Apparently, gaffer tape, by design, has to have a cloth back, which is one thing I learned. Did you used to know these two terms in your socialisation?
Well, having had a career in theatre since I was a teenager, gaffer tape has been a part of my world. You know, gaffer tape if you don't want it to move, WD-40 if you do. That's right. I grew up with gaffer tape. Duct tape, and then, of course, later duct tape, were moderately new words to me in the last 20 years or so. No, I've always known it as gaffer tape. Gaffer tape has just been part of the theatre world in which I grew up and lived for many, many years. So actually, for me, it was always gaffer tape and then the other. So exactly complete opposite to you, Ted. So there's your point demonstrated. It just depends on your situation, who you are and where you grew up and who you associated with.
Yeah. And do you think that gaffer tape should have cloth on the back?
I don't know. In my experience, yes, because in my experience, the gaffer tape that I remember from my theatre years is amazing stuff and was always cloth backed. And right, nowadays, right. The duct tape and the stuff that you can buy on Amazon is nothing by comparison to what gaffer tape used to be. So, yeah, I think gaffer tape's the real proper professional stuff and duct tape is not.
The other thing was that I made my dad a cottage pie the other day because since Mum died, he really misses some of the pie.
Sorry, Ted, I'm going to interrupt. I've got to interrupt. I do apologise, but I must interrupt and ask you, interesting as that conversation about gaffer tape was, what's the top tip?
Oh, the top tip was Ahmed's saying that if you've got something hanging off of something and you don't want to lose it, put a bit of tape over it. It's a very simple tip.
Oh, the tip is use sticky tape, in other words. Thank you, Ahmed.
Yeah. Thank you, Ahmed. It needed saying. Anyway, the point was the item was about the names of tapes. Don't be distracted. Anyway, as I was saying, so I made my dad this cottage pie and I posted a picture of it, like good foodies do, in the MeWe group. And Chris Kelly leapt in and said, he praised my fork action on the top of the pie, which is very nice of him. But the top tip is that he said that when he makes a cottage pie, he likes to put a good handful of grated mature cheddar through the mash and then dot butter over the top so that you get a kind of nutty brown foaming butter pooling in the valleys. He said that I've also put a layer of garden peas between the meat and the mash so that I can pretend that it's healthy because it's got something green in it. Oh, and the gravy, last tip, for the mince, must have a good slosh of Worcester sauce in it and a teaspoon of English mustard. You see, I would never have thought of doing I know about the cheese, and that's really nice, and the butter. But I would never have thought about mustard and Worcester sauce, would you?
You see, not satisfied with taking over Phone So Chat, he now wants a cooking podcast. I don't know, Ted. I'm afraid you're talking to a ding ding man. I just buy stuff from Tesco and put it in the microwave. I'm afraid I'm ashamed to say that I can't take part in this conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I agree with you, Chris, and I'll later on I'll try and teach Aidan the difference between Phone Show Chat and whatever works. Let's have a jingle.
I want one of those.
I want a Yeti Rambler mug.
What?
Vacuum insulated, stainless steel. The interesting thing about this mug, you can also get a Yeti Rambler pour over coffee maker.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
Which is it's basically a rum boat type thing. You sit on top of the cup. But the interesting thing about what I didn't quite get about this is that these mugs, which incidentally cost 25 quid each, are stackable. With a mag slider lid. I get the lid. I think it's held on by magnetism, which is fair enough. But why would you have mugs in the mix that are stackable. It's not like you can pour the coffee through from one cup to the other, but maybe it's just stackable because you might want to stack them in a cupboard.
Yeah, they want you to buy a lot. They want you to say stackable. I'll have to buy two or three and see if that works. Yeah, it's purely... Yeah. I agree with you, Ted. I mean, unless you own a bar or you're having an enormous party, why would you need more than two or three at the very most?
Yeah. Anyway, the Yeti Rambler stuff, which I don't think I'd seen before. I'll put a link in the show notes to the whole range as well, because I know that it's probably overpriced, £30 for the coffee dripper thingy, which you've also got to buy papers for, incidentally. It's not a permanent filter, and £25 for each of the cups. I'm sure it's overpriced, but the rest of the Rambler, the Yeti Rambler stuff, is actually really interesting and worth a look. That's I want one of those, but I'm not going to buy it.
Mine's the same, Ted. Mine is the is the Sunris BRS 3000T Ultralight Mini Camping Stove. You know, as you go through life, sometimes you might happen to see a little kitten or a puppy or a small rabbit and you go, oh, how sweet, I want one. And you know full well you don't. You're just saying it. Well, it's the same with this. This is the cutest little cooking thing I've ever seen in my life. It claims it's, you know, a mini cooking stove. Actually, it's not really so mini, because what it is, it's an attachment for a gas bottle and you put it on top of the gas bottle. So, of course, you can't use it without the gas bottle. And once it's attached to the gas bottle, it's not so mini anymore. But I just love the idea. If you look at the picture on Amazon of somebody's got this tiny little cooking thing in the palm of his hand, which, as I say, you attach onto the top of a gas bottle and it becomes a cooker on which you can, you know, just you can heat a pan. That's it. I would never use it. As I've just confessed to you, I don't cook, so I would never use it. But it's just very sweet and I want one. $15.99 from Amazon.
It's tiny, isn't it? That picture of the hand, you're right. With it, he's got a 5p coin, and you can just see how tiny weeny it is.
Yeah,
that's amazingly small. Yeah,
also because it may be so small that you've got to be very careful. I mean, I wouldn't want to put a pan of hot water on something that's, what does it say here, 8 centimeters across. So you've really got to balance your pan of boiling, scalding water very, very carefully that it doesn't fall off. So probably not the most practical cooker, but very cute nonetheless.
Yeah. Now, talking of tools, here's a Omni Pro 2, a pocket-sized wrench, which could be a complete toolbox. Smarter, stronger, and more refined. Made from aerospace-grade titanium, £99 it costs, and it's just got tons of functions. This is another Steve Litchfield item. I'm sure he would love this. Designed for everyday use, blah, 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 everyday carry, an adjustable wrench, a dual-scale caliper, magnetic endless pen, precision blade, secure bit storage, reversible ratchet, tritium slots, whatever that means, for night visibility, plus essentials like a bottle opener, phone stand, ceramic glass breaker. It's just got everything, hasn't it? I know it's £99 is not pocket change, but it just looks lovely. And it is a Kickstarter campaign, so good luck to them, as we always say. But yeah, what a lovely little tool, eh?
It does look lovely. I'm dying to watch the video, which I haven't seen yet. I won't try and watch it now while we're recording, or all hell will break loose, but I'll certainly be looking at that when we finish. That does look fun. What did you say it's made of?
Aerospace grade titanium.
Right, titanium. That's interesting pronunciation.
Yeah, aluminum, aluminium.
Tomato, tomato. Yeah, okay. I just thought I'd get in with that one. No, it does titanium. Look lovely. As you say, at £99, you've got to know you want one. Yeah, again, I want one of those. Thank you very much. Yes, yep, please.
Definitely.
Better before. Oh, Matt Jones, I doff my cap to you, sir. I could not agree more with the following. Matt Jones says, I'm looking at power stations, Jackery, Bluetti and the like. I'd like, he says, to compare build quality, size, weight, etc. But sadly, that is not something that modern retail allows. Oh, Aidan's favourite soapbox. There doesn't appear to be a retailer in the country that actually stocks these things in an on-the-shelf fashion. You want to look at it, you must buy it. I suppose this is the world we've made for ourselves with online shopping, which is great for mundane items, but for something more expensive, I kind of like to see what I'm buying before parting with my cash. Yes, welcome to my world, Matt. Listeners will know that this is a regular gripe of mine, and I concur, it's only getting worse. In the old days, if you wanted a washing machine, you could troll on down to your local store and you could look at 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 washing machines and compare them and walk up and down and touch them and feel them and smell them and look at them and stand by them and decide which one you want. You can't anymore. It's very, very sad, and I'm with you, Matt.
You can encourage, can't you?
You can to a degree. I mean, I remember I went to John Lewis when I bought my famous coffee machine and passed on the old one to you. I wanted to look at that. It was made by Sage, and mine's called the Oracle, and one I passed to you is the Barista Pro, I think. If you go to John Lewis...
Express,
that's right. They do indeed have some Sage products. They have the Barista, maybe the Express, maybe the Pro, but they didn't have the Oracle. And I remember asking and saying, I'd like to look at the Oracle. And they say, oh, we don't keep that one in store. You have to buy that one online. So to a degree, you can still go to places like Currys and John Lewis, but not like the good old days.
In the old days, you could go into Currys and actually take something away from you. And a long time ago, I started to get annoyed because everything I said to them, I'd like this, they'd say, yeah, we'll get you one, or you can order it online.
Oh, yeah.
They just didn't hold any stock. Even though they had one on display, one on show, you couldn't actually buy one, not to take away that day. Some things you could, but a lot of things you couldn't. I don't know if that's still the same now or not. The only counterpoint to this, I would say, is that if I was running a shop, or if I was a shareholder in a large store or something, and I knew that people were using my shop to go in and look at everything, and then work out what they want to do, then go off online and order it from Amazon or somewhere else because they can get it cheaper, I guess I would be discouraged to run a shop and to invest a load of money in stock as well. I can see it from both sides, and we've just come to expect deliveries, haven't we?
Yes, I totally agree. I agree with you, Ted, and I absolutely understand and agree with what you say. If I too wouldn't feel comfortable running a shop knowing people would go away and buy it online instead. It's just something else that the internet has killed. Proper shopping.
Yeah. Poxy internet.
Hey, I wonder what beds. I haven't bought a bed in years and years and years, but I wonder, I mean, you can't buy a bed without lying in it, surely. I mean, I remember the old days, you know, a couple turn up at Debenhams and go to the bed department and lie on 5 or 6 different beds and try out the mattresses. I presume you can still do that these days. Probably not.
I think places like retail parks, you would find a bed shop, wouldn't you? But they're probably few and far between. You certainly wouldn't find one down Bognor High Street.
No, something else the internet has killed. Whatever.
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 Whatever worked.
Whatever worked. Whatever worked. Do you remember we went through a phase of talking about standing desks?
Oh, yes.
This is June 2019, this one, show 83, which you and I were on. And John Love was talking about the FlexiSpot standing desk and worktop. When I saw this, I thought to myself, yeah, no one's mentioned standing desks for absolutely ages. I wonder if nobody's doing this anymore. Or I suppose it's something that you just buy once and you'll use forever. But, it's just not a topic that's come up very recently.
Can I just come in on that before you move on? I think it may have been a phase, but I always remember I was very taken with them. And, you know, I do try to take care of my health. And I was thinking I'd love to have a standing desk. And I think I would have a standing desk. The problem is, as I've said on the show, I'm silly and extravagant and pompous. And I have 5 monitors and all my recording equipment. And my desk is huge. And there is no standing desk in the world that would be strong enough to go up and down with that lot on it. So I'd have to do a serious makeover of my studio setup. But I was always very taken with standing desks and still am, and would still get one if my situation allowed it. Carry on.
I'm sitting at the desk I'm sitting at my dad's house is actually nailed to the wall. It's not really a desk at all. It's like a platform.
A shelf. You're working at a shelf.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. It's a shelf. That's what it is. It's very effective though. Yeah, and the other thing that I wanted to quickly mention was from that very same show of whatever worked is the Royal Mail parcel post boxes. Now, I'm sure that if you lived in the middle of London or the middle of Birmingham or something, you probably would see these, but they promised, and this is like 6 years ago, that these would be rolling out, which means you could put your parcel in there. You don't need to. It would scan a code and you could get proof of postage and blah, blah, blah. Well, I haven't seen one. Have you?
I don't know is the honest answer. I've seen a lot of post boxes popping up. I know many of them are Amazon, and I think there's some. Do Evry now have some? I don't know, to be honest, because we make use of the postman at the door. And if ever I need to send something, I just get the postman to pick it up next time they're around. So I'm afraid I don't know. I haven't seen any, no, but I have never heard of this, no.
You don't did on the 1st of June 2019.
And upon which day I was also taken, I remember, with the Salter kitchen scales that somebody brought onto the show. We have a Salter scale also. I think we bought ours some time before this show. We've had our Salter scale for maybe 10, even 15 years by now. I do remember, though, very much the old-fashioned scale that it replaced. Do you remember the one that's like a sort of plastic bowl that sits on top of an analogue scale? And as the analogue scale presses down, a little little dial moves around like a clock face. And we had that forever and a day in our kitchen, and only finally moved into the digital age, about 10 years or so ago, when we got a Salter scale. And they're great. The Salter is lovely. It's tiny little flat black scale, rather like a sort of a mobile phone on steroids, like a tablet sort of size thing, and you put your pound of flour, whatever it is, on it and press a button and up it comes digitally, and you can choose between pounds and kilograms, and much, much easier, much more sensible, much more accurate, but not as romantic as the old scales of yore.
Yeah, I agree. I've got one of these too, and it sits in the corner and doesn't do much, but when I need to use it, it's there, and it works fine. So yeah, that was whatever work do. I'm going to throw the Books Tablet Go Color 7 Gen 2 into Room 101 because it's shite, basically.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, so imagine a Kindle reader, yes. Book reader, and then you make it color. And you make it open, so it's got Android on it, and you can put all sorts of stuff on it that you can't on a Kindle. Anyway, the point here is that it's £250. I ordered one because I was looking for a Kindle, and I thought, yeah, let's go the whole hog and make it a bit better than a Kindle. And I sent it back because it was just rubbish. The main problem here is that they have not yet, I think, developed colour e-ink screens to be able to be commercially viable. Yeah. They're just rubbish. It's really, really badly washed out, and it's clunky, and it's really slow to refresh, and the colour is just washed out horribly. It's just rubbish. It just doesn't work at all. Now, apparently, the new colour Kindles are a bit better than the books ones, but anyway, I banged on about this in Tech Addict, so I won't do it too much, but I just wanted to throw it in Room 101 because they need to develop this technology better before they start pushing these out at £250 to people. I can't see that anyone would be very satisfied with this. It's nothing like the mono Kindle type e-ink, which is much, much better.
Haven't we said this across all podcasts forever? Get the technology right before you release it, and don't bring out the update until the technology is ready to cope with the update. Yes.
Sounds like an Apple argument.
I'm bringing something slightly different to Room 101 this week. Jazz FM. My mother is very keen on jazz, and when I'm travelling in the car with my mum, we listen to often Radio 4 because we're snobs, or whatever, some music. And I decided, let's try give Jazz FM a go. So I tuned in my radio to Jazz FM. And I have to say, and of course, we always say these things and we exaggerate, but without exaggerating, I would say 7 or 8 times out of 10, when I put Jazz FM on in the car, they're doing adverts, they're doing trailers, they're doing blah, 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 and the music doesn't start for 3 or 4 minutes. And often I do a short run, just running my mum to the shops or to the doctor or whatever it is, and we just don't hear any jazz. By the time we arrive, they're still doing the adverts. Or we turn it on and we hear the tail end of a piece of jazz for about a minute, and then they start the adverts. And I'm bringing it to the show because I know these things are psychological, as you say, when, you know, the bedroom air freshener, is it real or is it only psychological? There is, of course, the psychological element that you just feel angry and you say, oh, good Lord, every time I turn this on, they're playing adverts. But it really does feel that way. And I just wondered, do any of our listeners have any experience of Jazz FM or perhaps other independent radio stations? What percentage of their output has to be or is advertising and trailers, because it just seems extensive. We're about to give up to even trying to listen to Jazz FM because it's not Jazz FM, it's Adverts FM. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I do agree. It's really, really annoying. But it just comes back to money and how they're going to pay for what they do, I suppose. It's an advertising world that we live in. Very, very sad.
Too many ad breaks, Jazz FM, for goodness sake.
Calm down now. Right, I've got 2 things to give a gold star to, and I will pause between them because otherwise I'll get into trouble. And the first one is renewable warm-up emails. I'll say that again. Renewal warm-up emails. In this case, this week, for insurance. So I've got an insurance that's coming up for renewal in a month's time. In 2 months' time. And the action you need to take to sort it out starts in 1 month's time. So they've sent me a nice, friendly warm-up email. They call it a warm-up email. 2 months ahead, saying, in a month's time, we'll be sending you another email to get you to take some action. Now, you could argue that it's just littering my email with unnecessary emails, but most people probably don't have that in their calendaring diary system. And to know it's coming, I just thought that was worth a gold star. To know it's coming, so that you know that in a month's time you've got to start dealing with it. There's some positives to that, and I've not seen anyone doing that before. So I want to give a gold star to that idea.
I do agree. I mean, when you started talking, I immediately looked at the negative and thought, oh, people plaguing us with emails. But no, you're right. It is nice, especially if you're struggling financially and you think, oh, goodness, that's coming up. I'm going to have to start thinking about it. Or perhaps in a month's time, for whatever reason, you might miss the email. You might accidentally delete it or lose it in spam. Mm. So to have a second, you know, double security of a second email. I agree with you, Ted. I think that's a nice service to add. You may continue.
Yeah, definitely. and it's not like they're doing it every 2 days in the warm-up. It's just one. Yes. That's it, just one. The other thing I want to give a gold star to is Juno Records, which I've covered before. I recently got a new record. I don't often buy a record these days, but I did in the last month. And I have to say that Juno Records are doing really well. They must know what Amazon are doing, and they're underpricing Amazon. They are offering exclusive features. So the record that I got was not available anywhere else in the UK in the format that it was, with the special poster and the colour of the vinyl and blah blah blah. It was a special deal which Juno, I think, in the UK were the only ones that had. They also have got very good postage rates. Obviously, they're not going to do free postage like Amazon do if you're a Prime member, but you know, then they don't take the piss. And yeah, if anyone's interested in buying records or any other audio gear or stuff that's related, then I recommend once again Juno Records.
Well, I would say any company that's able to underprice Amazon and survive gets a gold star in my books.
Yeah. The most impressive thing, I think, was the exclusive features, that they had somehow snagged a deal that no one else had done with the people that have made these records. And it was really interesting, exclusive version of it that I got. So I was very pleased.
Splendid.
Anyway, there you go. Right, okay, well, we shall be back when we've got enough content for another show, somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks, and you can catch up with us then. Whateverworks.works is our website, AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan, TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. All the links to our audio podcasts go from there, and also all the MeWe groups, one of which is Whatever Works, of course. We hope that you'll join us there and tell us whatever works in your life. We can bring that to the next show and have a jolly time again like we have today, haven't we, Aidan?
We have, Ted, and I have one thing to say, and that is get your hearing tested! And buy a standing desk and just take care of yourselves, because you've got one life, so live it well.
There. Yes, indeed. Last thing, as always, is just to say to you lovely people, don't forget,
whatever works, works!